something said on the conference before I forget. Hopefully that worked. It used to tell us, and we'd know, but now we just have to take it on faith. Sometimes that's not always a good thing, electronics in particular. Well, brethren, most of us listening today are parents, and as parents, we know it's truly a joy when a child actually listens to some instructions that we try to give to them. It brings real joy to us when we ask our child to do something and they say, yes, Mom, or yes, Dad, and then they actually go do it if they obey you. But as we also know, children very often grow up and they rebel against the good advice that their parents have given them, their wiser parents. And, you know, we are God's children. So God sometimes becomes a little disfraught with us when we don't listen to his instructions and we disobey. And likewise, I am sure he's full of joy when we do. Now, unfortunately, God's word is full of accounts of his children that refuse to listen to him and rebel against him. So how about us? You know, do we listen to our Heavenly Father, our parent? Now, often children only learn to fear their parents when they're punished. And you know the old line, you know, if you don't stop doing that, I'm going to go, you know, get the paddle or the belt or whatever it is that you think they fear. And I'm really sorry to say, but all too often, you know, that's the relationship that we have with our Father God. We listen because we fear getting punished. Let's start today in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And today, as we approach the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, as we heard, I'd like to talk to you about the subject of listening, especially listening to God. Now, in the Old Testament, the word translated as listen is the Hebrew word shama, S-H-A-M-A, which means to hear or pay attention, to consider or to obey. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, fear here is the Hebrew word yare, which is Y-A-R-E. And it simply means to fear or to hold in reverence. So this proper fear or reverence of God, it says, is the beginning of knowledge. Let's go over to the book of Psalms, Psalms 111. Psalms 111 and verse 10. David writes here, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So he repeats it. A good understanding have all those who do, and then it adds in italics, his commandments. And if we go back just a little bit in that same psalm to verse 5, it says, he has given food to those who fear him or reverence him. Now, it's the same for us as a parent when we talk about physical food. You know, none of us as parents are going to take food away from our children. No, we feed them and we take care of them. And God our Father is no different. He wants to supply our every need. And more importantly, he wants to give us of himself, of his Holy Spirit. Now this verse continues, and he will be ever mindful of his covenant. Now the prophet Daniel, we don't need to turn there, but in Daniel 9 verse 4, if you want to just write it down, it says, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenants. So God faithfully keeps his covenant, but he keeps it with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now David goes on in this Psalm 111, if you're still there, verse 6, it says, he has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice, and all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And that is just like a parent. A parent also gives his children instructions. And those instructions are meant to build up the child and support and care for the child. They're not given, to cause a problem with the children. And God is that way towards us. He has our best interest at heart. But when he gives us something, it is to build our faith and to help us to come closer to him. And all God's precepts, as we just read, are sure. They are given for our good. Let's look at verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do. In other words, we are expected to do those things, not just read them or hear about them. Let's go back to Proverbs 1, verse 7, where it's talking about the same subject. This is several times in the scriptures, so it must have some importance to God. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, we must take that knowledge of God and apply it in our life and live by it. Let's continue with the verse here. It says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In verse 8 and 9, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains around your neck. See, the law and the instruction of a parent, the wisdom, if you will, if listened to and obeyed by that child, is so much more value than gold or silver or stuff or any material wealth or blessing that you can give that child. And so it is with us, with God. You know, what God offers us is truly a pearl of great price. And listening to those instructions that the mother and father give in the case of a child, or in the instructions that God gives, is far better than anything that we may gain physically in this world. God offers eternal life. However, you know, we must take what God says and use it and apply it in our lives. In other words, we listen to what he says and then we do it. We must be obedient children to God. Now, if we don't do what our Heavenly Father instructs us to do, it's like us, you know, telling our child, well, don't do that. And the child says, well, okay, I won't. And then he goes and does it anyway in disobedience. Well, technically, he's listened to you, but he continues to do what you told him not to do. Let's look at Luke 12. Luke 12, and beginning in verse 42. This is an example of listening and doing. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? And remember what we've been reading in the Proverbs about wisdom. Whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. In verse 45, but if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, like is very, very common in many of the churches today, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, or in other words, be a disobedient child, the master of that servant is going to come on a day that he's not looking for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now let's look at verse 47. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving a stripe shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So it's plain that God holds us very accountable for what he gives us, for what we know and understand, in other words, what we do with it. Now listening, obviously, has to be coupled with obedience. Just to listen doesn't accomplish anything. The scriptures show the godly principle of correction in Proverbs 22:15 and Proverbs 23:13. When you turn there, you're probably familiar about it. It talks about the rod of correction. But, you know, that's pretty much been done away with today in our politically correct society. I probably would be chastised for even saying something about a paddle or a belt a while ago. But, you know, it's child abuse. But, you know, man has taken, you know, that out of the, or I say our government has taken that out of the parents' hands. But God doesn't have those problems. He still has his rod of correction for us personally, and soon the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. And that's going to come on all the disobedient children living on this earth. Now let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll begin in verse 5. He's not talking to all those disobedient children out there in the world, unconverted in the world. This is aimed at God's called out. He says here in Hebrews 12, verse 5, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. But what son is there a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." Verse 9 says, "Furthermore, when we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect, or we feared them, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he," talking of God, "for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, we must listen to and apply what God is teaching us." You know, we are not to try and appease God with excuses or rationalization or partial obedience. We have to do his will. Let's go back to Proverbs 1, and we'll continue there. Proverbs 1, and we'll start in verse 10 this time. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." In other words, don't listen to those sinners out there. You know, it's interesting here that the Hebrew word for sin means those who miss the mark. The word entice in Hebrew means open the way. So the verse here literally is saying, if those who miss the mark open the way for you to sin, don't yield or consent to the temptation of them that are opening the way for you to sin. And if we drop down to Proverbs 1, verse 22, it says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning." Now, the same word used for entice is used there for simple ones. And part of the root of that word means to delude. And we know where delusion comes from. It comes from the evil one, Satan. Now, Satan, as we know, allowed false reasoning to affect him way back in time. And he sinned. He reasoned in his own mind, falsely, of course, that he was so intelligent and so beautiful and so magnificent that he could overthrow God and take his place. Well, all of his false reasoning caused him to sin and become what he is today, and that's God's adversary and enemy. Now, brethren, we cannot allow ourselves to be enticed by sin and spiritual delusion. You know, we must listen to God's instruction, not the lawless one, and obey God in order to resist that sin and deception. Now let's continue in Proverbs 1, and we'll see what God says about those who don't listen to him. Proverbs 1, verse 22. He says, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity or the deception?" Because they love it. They love to be deluded, and you know, we can allow ourselves, if we open ourselves up to false teaching, or we begin compromising with God's instructions or his law. Now, the verse ends with, "And fools hate godly knowledge." And in verse 23, God says, "Turn at my reproof," or correction. He says, "Turn, repent, change." You know, don't we expect that from our children if we are correcting them? You know, God expects us to turn or to change. That's what the Passover revolves around for us, the Days of Unleavened Bread. should be weigh very heavily on our mind this time of year. But if God reproves us, you know, or corrects us, he expects us to listen and then repent. You know, it continues there in that proverb, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. But God says, turn or repent at my reproof. Do it. You know, show through your sincerity with all of your heart and your mind that you fear and respect me. As he says there in verse 7, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And God is saying, show me that you revere and love me by listening to me and applying what I teach you. Let's move on to Proverbs 2. He says in Proverbs 2 in verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear. Now, all God is saying here is to listen and to incline your ear. In other words, desire to listen or understand what God is telling you. You know, when you're talking to another person, you in effect turn your ear to the individual that's talking to you because you want to hear what they're saying. You want to be a good listener. Well, Proverbs 2, verse 2 through 4, it says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, it's something valuable. You know, obviously, you know, this is going to take effort and hard work. And it takes a strong desire within the self. It takes commitment, to be plain and simple, to listen to God and apply those things in your life and to change and to overcome. Proverbs 2, verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord if you do those things. You know, we have to be like an obedient child that says, you know, yes, Dad, or yes, Mom, I'll do what you've asked. And then, lo and behold, they actually do it. And Proverbs 1, verse 33, you don't necessarily turn, I'll just read it. It says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So if we listen to and obey God, we can dwell safely and secure without fear. But today in the church, and I speak of it as a whole, we have a situation where most of the children that God has called out are compromising with his laws, especially God's Sabbath, and they're not keeping his feast at the appointed times. You know, they would rather buy and sell on God's Sabbath and follow some calendar of man's devising, and they are disobedient children. They're not listening to God. You know, they all want to do what's right in their own eyes, not what God clearly shows in the Scriptures. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16. And we want to look at these Scriptures spiritually. They have lessons for us. Don't just read the words and, you know, in one ear and out the other. These have meaning to us. Jeremiah 16, beginning in verse 11. And then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, they have walked after other gods and have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one walks according to the imagination of his own evil heart. Now, the Hebrew here means the desires or the purpose of their heart. In other words, what they desire or purpose, that's what they want to do. They're saying, in effect, they're telling God, for, you know, forget what God's telling me. I want to do what I want to do, you know, either by compromising or just plain disobeying. You know, at the end of verse 12, God says, so that no one listens to me. You know, they all do their own thing. No one listens to God. Basically, you know, what God is saying here, you know, I'm giving them this whole book full of instructions and knowledge, but still no one is listening to me. Back in the book of Exodus, Exodus 19, if you want to turn back there real quick, Israel, which included Judah at the time, all the tribes, had a very poor track record in obeying God. This was when Israel had first arrived at the base of Mount Sinai. They were all camped out there. This was after they had left Egypt, and God was about to give them his Ten Commandments. The people had said, you know, we don't want to hear you, God. You know, they were afraid. We don't want to hear you talk to us. We want to talk to Moses and let him tell us. And God said, well, okay, that's all right. I'll talk to Moses. And he did. And Moses, after expounding God's instructions in Exodus 19 and verse 8, it says, the people said, well, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear you when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses, you know, told the words to the people from the Lord. And we know how that all worked out. You know, Israel had a prime opportunity to hear God's word. You know, we could still be hearing God's word today directly from him. But, oh, no, you know, Israel said, oh, no, we don't want to hear from you. They said, talk to us through a man. Well, God said, okay. God sent them prophets. Unfortunately, as we know, if you read the scriptures, most of them, they murdered or they tried to murder. They didn't want to hear from them either. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9. We're going to start with verse 30. You know, this is hundreds of years in the future from Mount Sinai. This is a prayer to God concerning Israel and Judah. Here in Nehemiah 9, verse 30, it said, yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit and your prophets, yet they would not listen. You remember, God says almost all humans walk according to the imagination of their own evil heart, and no one listens to him. And here in Nehemiah was a time when Judah had come back from captivity for disobedience and was rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. And these are Levites that are crying out and praying to God. And God testified to his people through the prophets in whom his spirit dwelled, and yet they wouldn't even listen to that. At the end of verse 30, it reads, therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. God says, well, fine, you won't listen to me or my prophets. I'm going to send punishment on you. Well, just as you would do with your disobedient child, he did just that. And, brethren, this nation is also going to receive punishment because it has forsaken God. Let's look at Nehemiah 9, verse 26. It says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets, whom you testified against them, to turn them to yourself, and they were great provocations. So these disobedient children killed God's prophets, the people that he sent. You won't listen to me, I'll send you my prophets. He inspired them with his Holy Spirit, and all they did was murder or try to murder them. You know, they provoked and they angered God through their actions. God spoke to these people so that they had no excuse. And today he's speaking to us through these same words, same words in our Bible, through the same prophets. In fact, you probably have a Bible in front of you as I speak. And let's look at the book of Jeremiah again. Be in chapter 7 this time. Jeremiah chapter 7, God sent his prophets to Israel, but they wouldn't listen. And just like our children, and sometimes just like you and me, we just don't want to listen. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. You know, think about what an incredible privilege it is for the Creator God to give us instructions. The implication, though, is that we need to listen to God, and he also expects us to obey his commandments. You know, God's no different than any other parent. We want our child to walk in the ways that we teach them, you know, hopefully, so they'll grow up and be healthy and wealthy and wise and have a decent life. You know, they don't get themselves into any great trouble that they can't get out of. hope they'll develop into decent people. Well, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to live well, not just physically, but spiritually. And he wants us to have eternal life with joy and peace forever in his kingdom. Jeremiah 7, verse 24 says, "And yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." And we see the same thing happening today with God's people. They seem to have gone backwards and not forward. They're more interested in their traditions, their leaders, and their corporations, their numbers, than they are of truly obeying God's commandments. Let's look at verse 25. God goes on to say, "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent to you all of my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them." And God is doing the same today. Again, those prophets are still there. They're right there in your Bible. And all we have to do is turn to those pages in our Bible, and they're there for us with the same message. They're the exact same words, exact same prophets. Verse 26 and 27. "And yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you." that had to have been very disheartening to God. Here was his people, stubborn, stiff-necked, resisting his instructions, just like the vast number of Laodicea members and tares that comprise the church today. Jeremiah 7, verse 28. "So you shall say to them that this is a nation," and you can apply this spiritually too. You can just substitute the word church. "This is a church or a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. The truth has perished and been cut off from their mouth." And you might disagree with me. But I say, why, then, is the vast majority of God's church today not going to be removed to a place of safety, but have to go through the tribulation in order to get their attention? It's the same today. Truth is in the process of perishing, and for some, it has already perished. God sent Israel and Judah prophets, and he spoke through these men. These instructions are preserved for us as well, so that we need to heed them as well. We need to listen to these men, these prophets. When we open our Bibles, we need to apply these words to ourselves. Let's look at the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is primarily an end-time prophetic book. It applies to us today, and it has a definite application to us today. Let's look at Ezekiel 2. And beginning in verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you." And the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day." And yes, we might say yes to this very day. So here is another prophet of God sent who had God's Spirit in him, and the people still did not listen. In fact, they don't listen to him today. In fact, like with all of them, they tried to kill him too, as they have virtually all the prophets that God has sent through the centuries, including his beloved Son. We need to meditate on these things as we approach Passover. And he says in verse 4 and 5, "For they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them that you may say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them." And I say, amen, yes, they will. But you may be thinking, well, it's just the Old Testament. So let's turn to the book of Acts. We'll look at something there. Acts 7. Beginning in verse 51. Like I say, repeating the scriptures. There's nothing new under the sun. Here in Acts 7, beginning of verse 51, the deacon Stephen is saying to these people then, says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, and so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." You know, they were exactly the same in Christ's day as they were in ancient Israel, and I dare say the same today. Now, let's bring this a little closer to home. You know, how about us? Do we listen to God? Do we take His instructions to heart and apply them to ourselves, not to someone else? Let's turn here to Acts 28, a little bit deeper into the book. Acts 28, beginning in verse 25. This is after the inspired Apostle Paul preached from morning to evening to the leaders of the Jews at Rome about Jesus and the kingdom of God. And he says here, "So when they did not agree amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our father, saying, 'Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should be understand, and their hearts turn, or they would repent, that I should heal them.'" No, their minds were closed. Now, you can go through other scriptures, too. A couple of them, we're not going to turn there. 1 Peter 1, verse 11. 2 Peter 2, verse 21. They both talk about the prophets that God sent, these stiff-necked people, that they refused to listen and take God's instructions to heart. Now, you can just imagine, when Christ spoke to the disciples prior to his ascension, as recorded in Acts 1, you know, he instructed them there to stay there in Jerusalem in a particular spot, and they would receive the Holy Spirit from the Father. You know, well, you know, what if they did not listen? What if they didn't pay attention to what Christ was telling them? And they just said, "Oh, yeah, we'll do whatever you say," you know, just like ancient Israel. And then they all went off fishing or to academy or to the mall or whatever it was. You know, what would have happened to them? Well, I think you know the answer. You know, fortunately, they did listen to Christ. But that, again, brings us up to the real point or lesson of this sermon. You know, are we listening to God? Or are we compromising or partial in our obedience to God? You know, do we listen and obey by keeping His commandments only when it's convenient for us or out of fear? Let's turn over to Leviticus 23, where it enumerates all of God's festivals. Leviticus 23 and verse 2. You know, what about God's feast, specifically Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, the days, you know, that we're looking forward to right now? Well, here's what God instructs in his word. And if there were a red-letter version of the Old Testament, these would be in red. This is God speaking to them. In Leviticus 23, verse 2, he says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts.'" Then after listing the weekly seventh-day Sabbath, God continues in verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times." And then he speaks specifically about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened. Verse 5, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, and on the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work." Now let's look at the book of Luke, back to the New Testament. Luke 12. Again, do we listen to God's instructions? You know, where's our heart? Luke 12, verse 15. Christ himself is saying this. He says, this is red letter, by the way. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses or his stuff. You know, verse 29, Christ tells us not to be anxious about our daily needs. Verse 31, he talks about seeking the kingdom of God. Verse 33, to look for the true treasure guarded by God in heaven where no thief can break in and steal. Verse 34, he tells them where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, where is our treasure? You know, this is vitally important to us, brother. You know, God is a father. He doesn't want our excuses. Here we're in Luke. Let's look at a few pages ahead, Luke 14 and verse 15. Luke 14 and beginning in verse 15. You know, here, again, is a profound teaching directly from the mouth of Jesus the Christ himself. And these are just a few of the excuses of the day that he heard. He says, verse 15, now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he, Christ, said to him, a certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to tell those, to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all came with one accord and began to make excuses. The first one said to him, you know, I bought a piece of ground and I have to go see about it. I ask you to have me excused. Another one said, you know, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. And I ask you to have me excused. And still another said, well, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And I'm sure it went on and on. Verse 21, he said, so that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And verse 25, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate or love less his father and his mother, his wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him, comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the others are great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, in years past, the people of God would have moved heaven and earth to ensure that they kept any and every feast of God. You know, they were a high point in the year for them. It was a priority in their lives. Again, do we listen to God? Do we seek to obey him in everything he commands? You know, the people of his day wouldn't listen to Jesus, the Messiah, just as they wouldn't listen to any of the God's prophets before that. In fact, as we know, they took Christ, the very Son of God, and they murdered him, just as they had done to all of God's prophets. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. a little drink of water there. This time be Jeremiah 13, where God tells Jeremiah to put a linen sash around his waist and wear it for a couple of months, and then take it and go to the Euphrates River and hide it in a hole in the rock. And then a few months after that, God tells him to, well, go and retrieve it. Here in Jeremiah 13, beginning of verse 7, Jeremiah says, then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it, and there was the sash, ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Verse 8 through 10, we can read, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner will I ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. And if you recall, in the New Testament, Christ has a lot to say about the unprofitable servant. Now, if you tell people in the church today that we should be applying this to ourselves, to them, to me, and to you, they would probably laugh you to scorn. They would say, oh no, you know, it's for those other people out there, all those nasty Laodiceans, and all the while not realizing it is they who are the Laodiceans. Verse 11. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory, but they would not hear. Or they wouldn't listen. In fact, they refused to listen over and over again. You know, they had this incredible opportunity to become God's people, and they blew it. Verse 14. It says, and I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. And I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but I will destroy them. He says, hear, or listen. In other words, give ear, do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you are looking for light, you know, much as the parable of the ten virgins. And he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. Or if we want to apply it today to us, or before, for whatever reason, you or I run out of time in our lives. You know, God wants them and us to have close and strict, to give close and strict attention to what he is saying now. He wants us to listen now before it's too late. And you know, you have to be truly blind to not recognize the signs of the times today. And, you know, frankly, I pity whoever becomes our next president, because I think they're going to face unprecedented problems. This world is an increasingly violent and unstable place. And, you know, we all pray for God's kingdom to come. But there is much suffering and evil to come on this earth before that happy and peaceful time of God's kingdom. You know, we're about to enter into the time of Jacob's trouble that the prophet Jeremiah also speaks about in his prophetic writings, and that's Jeremiah 30, if you'd like to refamiliarize yourself with that prophecy. For ancient Judah, pride was the cause of their obstinate resistance and disobedience. And as we know, humility is the first step to obedience. So humble yourselves before God and listen to him. You know, we must rightly divide the word of truth and apply it in the sense that it is given to us by God, not try to twist the scriptures to suit our own desires. You know, we need to use God's word to change the self, to turn or repent so we can direct ourselves according to God's will and not our own. You know, let's go forward just a few pages. If you're still in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17 and verse 13. Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it says, O Eternal, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you or refuse to obey you will be ashamed. You know, we forsake God the moment that we place our trust in some person or physical thing or put anything before God. That's breaking the second commandment. Verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Back to verse 7, it says, blessed, though, is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So we need to trust in God. We need to look to him and not to ourselves. Verse 10, back and forth a little bit here, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Yes, we will reap what we sow. You know, if we listen to and apply what God says, then the fruit of our doings will be pleasing and approved by God, and we will reap blessings and not cursings. Eternal life and a glorious high throne is going to be ours. In fact, we'll sit with Christ in his throne in the kingdom of God. You know, what a privilege, but you know, how many are going to actually make it? In Revelation 3, you don't need to turn there, Christ's instructions to the churches, every one of them, he says, listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, as much as we want our children to listen, so God wants us to listen, to apply ourselves to his instructions and to his scriptures, and certainly, you know, to rejoice and keep his appointed times and his Sabbath at the proper time. You know, these scriptures aren't given just for the fun of it. You know, God didn't just say, I'm bored, I'm going to give all these scriptures out, and everybody can just ignore them and do with them what you want. No, he wants us to listen. He wants us to obey them and then do them. You know, remember, God's prophets were killed for bringing God's word to us. You know, men and women have died so that we can have the truth. You know, God knows those who are his. And you say, well, how does God know? Because they listen, and they fear him, and they apply his word in their lives. And because they do, God gives them his Holy Spirit. You know, let's close the sermon today in James 1. James 1 in verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, but when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Or we could say, it's promised to those who listen and obey, because to love God is to obey him and to keep his commandments and fulfill his will in your life. Now, the crown of life in God's soon coming kingdom will be ours if we listen to God and do those things that not only, you know, please our Heavenly Father, but they will also, right now, they'll bring joy into our lives and in the future in God's kingdom. Okay, that is the end of the sermon. Let me unmute.